Well, yes, we're thinking about Peter this morning. And before we go on a little bit about his life and some of the things that he said in particular, have you heard the joke about the inflatable boy? Well, if you have, you're going to hear it again. And if you haven't, then this is your lucky day, I guess. There was once an inflatable boy, and he went to an inflatable school. But he was bored with his inflatable school. And so he got out of his inflatable classroom and went dashing down the corridor. And as he went down the corridor, he bumped into his inflatable head teacher. "Boy, why are you out of school? Why are you out of class?" And in a panic, he grabbed hold of a drawing pin that was in his pocket and he popped the inflatable head teacher. And he went running on out of school. And he turned around, he looked at school and he said, "I hate school. Do any of you hate school?" Oh, all the teachers have put their hands up. Yeah, that's good, isn't it? "I hate school," he says. So he turns around and he pops the inflatable school. And he runs on home into his inflatable house and into his inflatable bedroom. And he shuts the door. And a little later, the police come along, the inflatable police. And his inflatable mum and his inflatable dad go upstairs and they take the police up to him. And in an absolute panic, he pops the policeman, he pops his mum, he pops his dad. And then, absolutely panicking, he doesn't know what else to do, so he takes his drawing pin and he pops himself. And a little later, in hospital, the inflatable boy wakes up in the inflatable hospital. And in the bed next to him is the now deflated head teacher. And he looks sternly at the boy. He says, "Well, boy, I'm very disappointed in you. You've let me down. You've let your parents down. You've let the school down. But most of all, you've let yourself down." Now, I wonder, have we ever been let down by someone? Maybe somebody promised that they would do something, and then they didn't. Maybe somebody promised that they would be somewhere, but then they didn't turn up. Maybe somebody promised that they would say something, but then they didn't speak out. Maybe that could be your experience, people letting you down. Or maybe you can think of times actually when you've let somebody down. Maybe you've let down family. Maybe you've let down friends or colleagues. Or maybe God. Well, let's take a look at Peter and see what he has to say for himself. Throughout the Gospels, Peter always seems to have plenty to say. Plenty to say, and often very impulsively. Straight away he says something. He's in with both feet, doesn't sometimes think about what he's saying or what he's doing. And yet in this impulsiveness, he comes out sometimes with some really telling statements, some key statements which go right to the heart of who Jesus is and what Jesus is all about. And right from the beginning, we read how Peter is involved in the action. If you think back to when Peter was first called, when all the disciples were first called, they were out in the lake, you may remember, and they were fishing, and then they put their nets out on the other side, because Jesus said, "Put your nets out on the other side," and they have a bundle load of fish, nets almost busting with fish. And at that particular point, as they land the fish on the side, Simon says this: "When Simon Peter saw what had happened, he fell on his knees before Jesus and said, 'Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man.' And then on another occasion, they're on a boat, and a storm this time. And they feel under threat. The disciples are worried. What's going to happen? Then suddenly they see somebody walking on the water in the distance. We did it as Peter said. Peter said, walk on the water. Lots of us were all doing this. I don't know whether that's how you walk on water or not. But anyway, they saw Jesus walking on the water. And then Simon sees that and he says, "Well, hold on a second. I want a piece of that." And he says, Peter spoke up, it says in Matthew, "Lord, if it really is you, order me to come out on the water to you." And then on another occasion, Jesus is asking his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" "Some say John the Baptist," they answered. "Others say Elijah, while others say Jeremiah or some other prophet." "What about you?" he asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." "Good for you, Simon Peter, son of John," answered Jesus. "Peter, you are a rock, and on this rock foundation I will build my church. Not even death will overcome it." Wow, what a responsibility that is. Peter is going to have the church built on him. Jesus had a huge amount of trust for Peter. And then later on, as we get closer to that first Easter, it's the Last Supper, and Jesus is washing his disciples' feet. Now that's a servant's job. You'd only get the servant doing that. You wouldn't get the master doing that. And so the disciples are asking, "Why are we doing this? Why are you doing this, Jesus?" And Jesus says, "You don't understand now what I'm doing, but you will understand later." Peter declared, "Never at any time will you wash my feet." "If I do not wash your feet," answered Jesus, "you will no longer be my disciple." Simon Peter answered, "Lord, do not wash only my feet then. Wash my hands and my head too." Peter now doesn't want to miss out, does he? Initially he says, "No, don't wash my feet. That's a servant's job." But then Jesus says, "Well, if I don't do that, you won't be my disciple." And then suddenly Peter's thinking, "Hey, I don't want to miss out on that. Not just my feet then. It's got to be my hands, my head, everything. Wash me." He doesn't want to miss out. He doesn't want to take any chances on missing out. And then further on in that chapter of John, chapter 13, we read this. "Where are you going, Lord?" Simon Peter asked him. "You cannot follow me now where I am going," answered Jesus. "But later you will follow me." "Lord, why can't I follow you now?" asked Peter. "I'm ready to die for you." Jesus answered, "Are you really ready to die for me? I'm telling you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will say three times that you do not know me." Peter is at it again. "I'll die for you, Lord. I'll do anything for you. I'll die for you." He's always got something to say for himself. Usually something to impress or a commitment. Something that's going to be the right thing to do, the right thing to say whilst Jesus is there. And all these things come in the company of the disciples and Jesus, within a safe situation, in circumstances that he feels confident to speak out. He's the one that speaks out from the crowd. He's quite happy to stand out from the crowd right up to the point where he says, "Jesus, I'll die for you." So what happens next? If Peter wanted to stand out from the crowd early on, he now very much wants to be lost in the crowd. He finds himself away from Jesus. He finds himself away from the immediate circle of close friends. He's lost in a crowd of people who don't know him. And they start to point the finger at him. The crowd is hostile. He's away from the safe crowd. He's out of his comfort zone. Peter no longer stands out from the crowd. He tries to merge in. Doesn't try to speak out. He tries to avoid conversation. He doesn't look for attention. Instead, he tries to avoid eye contact. And three times he actively and very positively denies that he knows Jesus. So he's in this hostile crowd. And then, the cock crowd. Will you let me have that? Sort of fits in, doesn't it? But I'm sure it should be crowd, really. But no, the cock crowed, right? So the cock crowed. Or the cock crowd. And that's the moment of realization for Peter. At that particular point, he remembered the words of Jesus that three times you will deny me. I wonder as well whether maybe he was remembering perhaps all the things that he had said over the months and years that he was a follower of Jesus. All the things that he'd said out loud. All the things that he'd done to say that he'd stick up for Jesus and he'd be there no matter what. I wonder whether those things were going through his mind as well as just hearing the words of Jesus that you will deny me three times. So the cock crows, and at that moment, he knew that he'd let his friends down. He let himself down. But most of all, he'd let Jesus down. But it doesn't end there. All is not lost. Because sometime later, after Jesus' resurrection, the disciples were together again with Jesus. And again, it was at a lakeside, and again, there were lots of fishes involved. And they just caught some fish, and they were having breakfast on the side of the lake. And then Jesus calls Peter away from the crowd, so he's no longer with his disciples. Jesus calls just Peter. Peter and Jesus go aside, and it's a personal thing. It's a one-to-one conversation. And Jesus says to Peter three times, "Do you love me?" And Peter speaks up again. "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus knows Peter. Jesus knows his weakness. Jesus knows his failings. Jesus knows all his good intentions. And Jesus forgives Peter. Jesus restores Peter to himself. And Jesus chooses Peter to start his church. And isn't our story a little bit like Peter's? In the security of our own crowd, in a family situation at home, or here in church, or maybe in our home groups, or in Light Factory, or at Outrageous, or at Boys Brigade and Girls Brigade, we can say to ourselves, "Yes, Lord, we'll stick up for you. We'll not be shy in sharing our faith." And then we're in a situation with our non-Christian friends, maybe with work colleagues, maybe it's in a lesson at school. We might not be quite like Peter and shout out, "I don't know Jesus." We might not do that. But maybe we just don't speak up when we should. And then there can be that moment of realization, that moment of guilt for us, a point at which the cock crows in our own minds. And we realize that we've missed an opportunity to say something about our faith or to stick up for Jesus. But just as with Peter, all is not lost. Jesus knows us. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows our desire to serve him. He knows that we'll let him down. He knows that we'll feel guilty. Do you know, there are times when I feel I'm a really rubbish Christian. And I look around at others and I think, they're doing much better than I am. But Jesus knows that. And he asks us, "Do you love me?" And we respond by saying, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And so we are forgiven and restored. And we move on to continue to serve Jesus with the strength that he gives us through his Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the story of Peter. We thank you for the example that Peter is to all of us. Peter tells us a lot about ourselves in many ways, and also a lot about you. Thank you, Lord, that you know everything, all there is about us. And Lord, you know that we love you. You know that we want to serve you. Lord, we pray that you will give us strength and courage to follow you and to speak out for you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.